course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby. Although there is this undisconnected phone in my closet that's been ringing off the hook all day. That's weird.
Well, you should pick that up. It's kind of rude not to answer the phone when someone's calling.
I guess so.
Yeah, just maybe not go to sleep. No, we are reviewing, obviously, the Black Phone 2 that's coming up later in the show. We got a few things to talk about before then, beginning with Ike. What else did you watch this week?
Oh, man. So let's see. Horror-wise, I've not watched a ton. We did a cursory watch. Dave actually and I watched Trick or Treat last weekend. And we decorated Halloween cookies, so that was fun. Let's see, what else did I watch? Other than that, I've been on a weird kick where I've been watching a lot of Law and Order SVU. But that's not horror related. That's more true crime, so not much else.
Let's see. Man, I don't know what I watched. I don't know where I stood last time. I finished watching through the Friday the 13th, the Halloween, and the Nightmare on Elm Street franchises. I finished all those. So I don't know where I'm going from here. It's a prob. I don't know. I'm leaning towards it probably being Scream now. I haven't started that yet. So it's been a couple of days and I haven't really watched started that yet. So, but that's yeah. So that's where that stands. I don't think there's been anything else I watched. I think that's it. So all right then, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries, so stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So, starting us off at the top. Filming has wrapped on Crystal Lake. The series is scheduled to premiere on Friday, March 13th, 2026. So we got about four and a half months-ish until we will, maybe about 5 months, actually, four and a half, something like that, until we actually get to see this. But, you know, hey, it's at least been filmed. I'm not gonna, you know, count my eggs before they hatch because, you know, Dave and I have talked about this a lot. Horror and, you know, Hollywood in general has a bad habit of shelving projects. So knocking on wood, that doesn't happen. But assuming it doesn't, we will get this March of next year.
That's right. Hopefully it comes out. I'm super excited. I can't wait to see what they've done. I like this. It's a new avenue for the franchise. So I'm excited to see what they do. But I don't know. It's been up and down so much. I guess, you know, cautiously optimistic.
Absolutely. 100% would agree. But very good. Well, I'm sure we'll get some updates and hopefully a trailer in the coming months. But until then, we're going to move on to Screamboat is officially getting a sequel titled Screamboat 2. Nothing Stays Dead. It will have Minnie Mouse with her debut. You know, I have not yet had a chance to watch Screamboat. It is online to stream on, I think on Peacock, isn't it?
Or yeah,
Shudder.
Yeah. No, I think it's Peacock.
Is it?
I think. I can't remember.
But
Don't
I
know.
haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But I know this is, of course, David Howard Thornton. Yeah, I'll have to give this a check before the second one comes out. But I mean, hey, we're all for the what do we call it? The
Public domain horror.
public domain horror.
That's right.
Whew. We haven't heard much about some other things that are in that realm. We actually haven't talked about public domain horror in a few weeks. So,
No, there hasn't been as many announcements of new stuff, it doesn't feel like, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watched Screamboat. It was pretty good. And I'll obviously watch this, whatever. But my only thing is, I still love the public domain horror stuff, but I think I'm starting to get just a touch burnout on the Steamboat Willie Mickey stuff. There's just been so many of them, and it is really just screwing with my brain. I'm having trouble remembering which is which and what's what, and I don't know. And I love David Howard Thornton. Don't get me wrong, I always love his performances, but I got to say the whatever they're calling themselves, the Twisted Childhood, the Blood and Honey, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Those folks, I think they're making better movies than all the others. So I get a little more excited about those. So it's okay. I'm glad it's getting another. So who knows what happens, but I don't know. It just doesn't excite me quite as much as some of the other films, the Pinocchio Unstrung and some of those. I'm a little more, I think, looking forward to those coming out soon than I am. But I am this, but I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give it a watch, but I would agree. I think some of the secondhand or even third-hand people who've kind of jumped on the trend, they don't make quite as quality movies as our friends that over at the Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey and whatnot, the Pooniverse, if you will.
Yeah, I mean,
So yeah,
Bambi Reckoning was really good. Peter Pan Neverland was really, really good. I'm really looking forward to the Pinocchio take. I don't know. They're just better formulated, and then deliver a little better for me. I'm really enjoying their stuff. So I don't know. It's starting to get that little bit of gap with some of that and some of the others. It's like, I'll still watch it, but it's like, it's just not as, I don't know, it's not as entertaining and not as quality as their stuff. So that's just where I stand. But
No, I agree. It's kind of weird though. Like we're to the point now where the public domain horror, there are tiers to it now.
I know
Which I guess I didn't realize that we were that far along.
it's getting wacky.
Oh yeah, but all right, we'll get some more news about that hopefully soon. Maybe get some casting information about maybe who's gonna play Minnie Mouse, you know? But
Who knows?
yeah, I hope it's someone cool. But we'll see. But moving on to some other news in a different universe, Evil Dead Burn has wrapped production and will debut in theaters on July 24th, 2026. I mean, obviously, Dave and I are super excited about this. Evil Dead is a fan favorite and a favorite of Listen to Their Screams. Evil Dead Rise was, one of the best all around horror movies that I've seen in a very long time. And it's perhaps, up there with one of the best Evil Dead movies even. And it really, oh man, I just remember when that movie came out, everyone was abuzz about that movie. We were buzzing about it. It was one of those few times where like a movie came out and it was almost universally loved, to some extent, at least among horror fans. And yeah, I mean, Evil Dead Burn just looks so great. And I've seen a clip of when they wrapped, they did like a scene with a somebody getting beat to death with some piece of plastic or something. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm super excited.
Me too. Who would have thought Bruce Campbell kind of stepping behind the camera and being more of a producer, executive producer, whatever you want to call him, and not being not playing Ash on camera, with no offense, would actually be a positive move for them. I think it's allowed them to create it to creative creatively, excuse me, go in a new direction. It's helped them kind of get away from some of the comedy that had become such a backbone. And I don't have any issue with that. I enjoyed that stuff, but it's really kind of allowed them to just really, put out some terrifying stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think genuinely, I do think that we are leading to sort of a climax where we will see Bruce Campbell back on the screen.
Probably.
I don't want to get like into the whole fan theory thing because like I know some people get pretty quirky and wacky with those. But I think at the end of this trilogy and perhaps even at the end of this movie, we'll potentially see Bruce Campbell reprising his role as Ash, perhaps in a more serious manner. There's been a lot of talks, about how in, for instance, our Army of Darkness, there are three Necronomicons. A lot of people think that the three Necronomicons are intentional. There's the one from the original Evil Dead that Bruce Campbell, or, Ash, activated, if you will. And then you had the second one, which was from the Evil Dead from 2016, I think it was. And then there's a third one from this set of movies. And a lot of people think that they're going to lead to sort of like a climax where all of these people from these movies kind of come together in some way. So I don't know. I think that would be really neat. I'm interested to see how Burn connects to the other films. And just kind of see where it goes from there because, I mean, hey, we got a whole wide universe to talk about and there's a lot they can do. Hope they don't stop anytime soon.
That's right.
But yeah, don't get me talking about fan theories. I'll talk forever.
Yeah,
But all right, cool. We'll get some more information about Evil Dead Burn. I'm sure closer we get to July of next year. But for now, we know it's coming, hopefully. Next, we have Zach Krieger's Weapons now available on HBO Max. This is exciting, of course. Dave and I liked Weapons very much. It was a fantastic movie. Generally positive reviews. We have a whole episode about it, so I won't talk about it for too much. But hey, quick turnaround to HBO Max. I kind of figured that's where it would go. Yeah, we get to watch it again. I'll have to check it out this weekend.
I'm excited. It's definitely one of those movies that I've been looking forward to doing a rewatch of. So we talk about rewatchability, and this is one of those that I was looking forward to giving it a second watch.
Yeah, me too. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that I maybe missed, and I think a second watch would help me, kind of go back on those. And I'm sure they won't have it on there, but I'm really excited for the physical release because I think like a blooper reel from this movie would be hilarious with all those kids. But we'll see. We'll see when that happens. Moving on though, we have two more little pieces of news here. We have I Know What You Did Last Summer on is on Netflix. Netflix is, I know, this is an interesting one. I don't remember who put this movie out, but I'm pretty sure the other movies aren't on Netflix. I thought they were like on Paramount or something. I could be wrong about who has those movies right now. But it is strange to me that they are on, that this one's on Netflix specifically. But hey, if that's where it goes, that's where it goes. Also, weird thing about Netflix, did you know if you have the ad tier, which is like the cheapest tier, you can't access certain like newer movies because of like some licensing issue. So it's weird that you're still paying for Netflix, but they can say, well, since you have the ad tier, you can't watch these movies.
Sounds about right.
It does. But anywho, if you guys want to check that out, it is on Netflix. Again, we review this movie. We gave it generally positive reviews as far as requels go,
Yeah. I've actually already rewatched this one. I watched it with Monica. She didn't see it, so she wanted to watch it. So I rewatched it with her. So I already rewatched it. And it's okay. I mean it's okay for a rewatch. I mean, I guess it's a little different when you already know what's happening and the big reveal, but it's still an enjoyable movie.
What did Monica think of I Know
She
What You Did
like
Last Summer?
yeah, she liked it. She liked it. Well, she likes the original one, and yeah, she thought it was pretty solid. And
That
she thought the I mean, I won't give a spoiler, but she, on the one hand, hated who they had as the killer,
Yeah.
personally, but then she thought it makes perfect sense.
Right.
So she thought it's not that it's a bad choice. She just hated that it, had to be that choice or was going to end up being that choice. But
It was one of those, she probably liked the character a lot and was like, oh
yeah.
man. But that's fair. That's a valid take. But awesome. Well, the only other piece of news we have right now is The Long Walk is now out on video on demand. Dave and Monica actually reviewed this back in
Oh, that's right.
September. Yep, when I, you know, myself and Kayla were on our cruise, and we went down to Orlando and whatnot. So you guys watched that movie and reviewed it. From
Dug
what I
it.
understand, yeah, it was good reviews.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good movie. Very good movie. I forgot about
Awesome.
that.
I'll have to check that out when it gets on streaming. But yeah, I mean, it's Stephen King. He can't be Stephen King.
That's right.
But all right. So we're going to rock and roll to some upcoming birthdays. This one's very timely with the Evil Dead news, but October 23rd, 1959, of course, Sam Raimi, known for his role with the Evil Dead franchise. I say role, he's kind of like the whole kit and caboodle behind it. He's the producer, the writer of certain ones, if not all of them, except for maybe Evil Dead Rise. He's had a lot of influence over that, as well as other series throughout the years. He did Spider-Man. Didn't he do another Marvel movie, the Multiverse of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
I think so, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, hey, he's had a lot of really high profile, movies outside of Sam, just Evil Dead. So, hey, I love Sam Raimi. I'll watch just about anything he does.
Yeah, I like his stuff too. I'm a big fan of his Spider-Man movies. Really like those. But yeah, he's a, him and Bruce Campbell go way back, obviously, and have stayed good friends over the years. He kept this Evil Dead thing going through it all. So yeah.
True. True, true. And yeah, I do love his Spider-Man movies. I think that Raimi's Spider-Man movies are, by and large, the best trilogy of Spider-Man movies, just generally speaking. I love Tobey Maguire, but I do like Tom Holland better as Spider-Man, generally speaking. But
Yeah.
I do think that Sam Raimi's movies are better movies, but Holland is a better Spider-Man. And I loved Andrew Garfield. He's a personal favorite, but it's unfortunate he didn't get that third movie. I think they would have done good with that one. But
Yeah.
anywho, not talking about Spider-Man. This is not a comic book podcast,
No, no.
but Sam Raimi, happy birthday, Sam! And jumping now to October 24th, 1957, we have John Cassier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. I mean, that's an iconic voice. I feel like an entire generation of people were potentially scarred by that
Yes,
voice.
I was in that generation. Yes, but I always loved Tales from the Crypt. I just did it, oh, I don't know, a year or two ago. Did a rewatch of them all. Still good shit. Well, the early stuff. The last couple, their last, ooh, it gets a little rough at the end. But of course, yeah, his voice, absolutely iconic as the Crypt Keeper. And also did it in a brief cartoon series, even. There was even some a Crypt Keeper cartoon briefly, so. Good stuff. Very iconic voice.
Can't beat that. And it's so weird to me, like stuff from the 80s and whatnot, they turned everything into a cartoon. But
They did. I mean, Toxic Avenger had a cartoon.
that's such a quirky thing that like no other generation can say they did, is
And they turned everything. I mean, Ghostbusters had a girl. I mean, Police Academy had a
that.
cartoon. I mean, all these movies, some of these movies are like our movies, and they made
Oh,
cartoon series and toys for kids. And yeah, it was a good time to be a child. It was fun.
that is awesome. But all right, happy birthday, John. Moving now to October 25th, 1993, we have Mia Goth. She does the role of it's Maxine. I don't know why I was having a hard time remembering that, but she was in Pearl X Maxine. And she's been in a bunch of other stuff. She's also in that movie, oh shit, with Skarsgård, and that was really weird. It was like Infinity Pool, I think it was called. That was a fucking weird movie. And she's also going to be in the Frankenstein movie that's coming up here soon for Netflix. And
Which
yeah, I
is
think, go ahead.
now it's actually now out limited theatrical run. So if anybody's lucky enough to get that in their area, it is Guillermo del Toro's. It's actually out in theaters on that limited run now, but it's the rest of us have to wait till it comes out in Netflix.
Man, that's whack. But that's cool though. That's really, really cool. So, yeah, happy birthday, Mia, and we'll probably have to check out Frankenstein because I think it comes out in November on Netflix. So that'll probably be on our list. I know they said it's not going to be necessarily strictly horror. It's going to be more of a faithful adaptation of the original Frankenstein, but it is a monster movie at the end of the day.
Right.
So,
That's right.
anywho. Happy birthday, Mia. We're going to jump now to our last two birthdays. We have October 28th, 1902, Elsa Lanchester, the Bride of Frankenstein. I'm assuming that she is the bride.
She is the bride.
Presume. That actually, not to take away from her birthday, because Elsa's fantastic. The Bride of Frankenstein is a favorite of Dave's. Dave, have you heard about the movie called The Bride coming out this very soon?
I don't know. I don't know about it. I don't know.
I felt that you would probably have some hesitation. It seems to be an interesting twist on the Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein lore. And it is the directorial debut of Maggie Gyllenhaal,
Yeah.
as I understand it, which I love Maggie Gyllenhaal, don't get me wrong, but I've seen a couple of trailers and it does seem very artsy fartsy a little bit to me.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to a unique twist because Frankenstein, there's been lots of unique twists on Frankenstein and just that general type story, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's yeah, that was the kind of kicker. I think it might be a little too artsy, a little too little horror for me. But I don't know. We'll see. And in the meantime, all those films, I can always go back and watch Miss Elsa play the bride. I mean, how iconic is that? She was in a movie for, I mean, less than 10 minutes. And look how iconic her look and her role is over time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I 100% agree. It's interesting how you can literally have someone like that who's just in that for like a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden there's an entire generation of films being made off of that. So Elsa is a legend in their own right. So, all right. We have one last birthday, and this one's also very timely, because I mentioned it earlier. October 28th, 1974, Michael Dougherty, who of course was the was part of the mind of Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat is a yearly rewatch for Dave and I. In fact, like I said, we watched it just about a week ago. He's the director and writer of Trick or Treat, and he is also involved in Trick or Treat 2, which we don't have any updates on, but it's in the mill. It's in development,
Supposedly.
supposedly.
Yes. But Trick or Treat's another one of those that those of you who are lucky enough might want to check theaters. It is getting a little bit of a theatrical run out there as well, and they're opening it up with the that original little animated short that kind of inspired the first thing he did with Sam, that
Yeah.
later kind of, you know, compounded and expanded into this. So yeah, I mean, they're showing that with it as well. So yeah, you might check. I guess it's still, I know it has had a theatrical run. Can't guarantee it still is currently, but yeah, you might check your local theatrical listings.
Nice, nice. Well, all right. So now we're going to jump now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. So starting us off, this is a good list, dang. So okay, October 23rd, 2001, we have Ginger Snaps. Ginger Snaps, it was a movie I had never seen. Dave recommended that I watch it, and I sat down, I watched it. I made Kayla watch it. She loved it. But this is definitely one of the most let me rephrase. This is perhaps the most unique take on a vampire tale that I have ever seen. This is probably top three werewolf movies I've ever seen. Did I say werewolf or did I say
I
vampire?
think you said vampire, but
I meant werewolf, the other monster. The vampire is great nemesis, the werewolf. But no, this is perhaps the best werewolf take that's not like the traditional werewolf. Top three werewolf movies of all time for me. And it's so great. And of course, it has Supernatural alum in the movie.
All kinds of them, yes, but yeah, such a great movie. Just it's an absolute personal favorite. I mean, it's just what I love it. Just one of my favorite movies, period. Not even Werewolf. I mean, I just such a, I don't know, it's just one of those films that's super enjoyable for me to watch, and I love watching it every time. When I rewatch it, it never gets old.
Absolutely. Never gets old. That's true. This is on my rewatch typically for around this time of year. So I'll probably be watching this in the very near future.
Actually, we have four movie anniversaries, and I can say that all four of them are in some form or another comfort movies for me that never get old when I rewatch.
Absolutely. And I think all of these are necessary, if not, important movies to watch around this time of year because for Halloween, just because either they're important to the season itself or they are just awesome in their own right that they deserve to be watched during spooky season. But the other movie, we'll start with our second one here, October 25th, 1978, Halloween. That's right, the OG Halloween. I mean, this is, it's literally Halloween. We talk about Halloween so much. This movie is still generating content to this day. We have a video game about Halloween that's going to be coming out. It's being produced and whatnot right now. So I mean, come on, this is perhaps one of the most successful series of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's it's still the movie when people ask me what's your favorite horror movie, I still go to this one because it's, I don't know, it's just it's perfect. It is scary, it's creepy, it's got so many great people in it. It's just so iconic. It has that Halloween spirit about it, and it doesn't rely, on, and I love blood and gore. Everybody knows that. But this doesn't really have that per se. It leaves a lot to your mind, and a lot of times what your mind visualizes is worse than what they put on the screen. And
True.
I mean, the most, to me, the most iconic horror theme of any movie. I mean, this, I don't know. I just, to me, this movie's perfect. It's just so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was talking about how, I love modern horror. Just a general statement. I love modern horror, but one thing that modern horror lacks that 70s, 80s, 90 horror doesn't, it is the music. We don't have John Carpenter's making music for their films anymore. And that's not just that's I do sometimes feel like a boomer saying that because that is a very boomer thing. They don't make them like they used to, but I mean it's true. I mean, you don't really have people going out and making their own scores for horror films. In this day and age, they oftentimes use whatever is hip or popular, or in the very minute cases like Terrifier, they make their own music, and that's why I think also Dave and I love Terrifier so much is that it's not just an indie film and the perspective of the movie itself that they start from the ground up, they're making their own music, you know what I mean?
And that's, again, that's one thing. I guess if I had, speaking of Terrifier, with Terrifier 3, if I had one complaint, it is, they did use that Ice Nine Kills song, right? The Art of the Kill. On the one hand, it was a song specifically written for the movie. It was something that gave it a little bit of mainstream, to it and whatnot. But then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, don't start doing that, right? Don't start putting standard songs in, because I don't, it's like, I don't want songs. I want the music created for the film to fit the flow, the mood. And the other Terrifiers, I mean, they use a lot of the same songs, right? And variations of the same themes, like a lot of these movies do. But it's like the original Terrifier theme, it has a little bit of chaotic sense to it, and it's edgy, and it kind of like grates your nerves just a touch, which is exactly what you would anticipate for a score for that movie. And don't get me wrong, I love the song. But it was almost just like, and they didn't use it. It came out before the movie, and I was afraid that was going to be, that was going to be their thing. Right. And it didn't really, they didn't really do it as the overriding music for the movie. You know, it didn't, you know, take over. They didn't use all these songs. But yeah, well, I mean, yeah, to me, horror and the most iconic franchises have, they have their own themes and their own score and their own, and, or, you know, not even that, but you could break it down even further where, you know, different characters have their own themes within the movies, right? That's what movies used to do in general, even. But you know, as far as Halloween, right? There's a particular, there's segments of music for Laurie and different things, right? And those are, you can use those through the franchise and through sequels to bring back, and it doesn't have to be the exact same, but just even variations, but it's still just like Star Wars was one of the best with it, right? They would use these themes for characters and situations, and when they brought those back, that music would accomplish something before you even saw what was on the screen. And because you register memories, and that and Halloween's one of the best. You hear that theme, there's memories. You know what you're seeing. You know what's happening right from the get-go, right from the first few notes. And it adds to that tension. It builds that tension. And that's what music for a movie should be. And yeah, I don't, you know, I don't, I hate when they rely too much. You know, I'm okay with a song here or there. I get that. And then there's certain songs that I do enjoy. They use sometimes almost ironically, which Halloween, I guess, does have one, Mr. Sandman, right? But that's almost, it's almost like ironic that you're hearing that song in a horror movie. So that's kind of eerie in its own stretch. But I don't know. I guess a long way about. So yeah, I too wish we would go back, you know, to. But again, on the same hand, you know, we have so many remakes and requels, and I'm not knocking a lot of them because I like a lot of them. But it's almost like it's everything's money driven now as opposed to art driven, right? And people are afraid to take, a lot of times afraid to take chances with their art and their ideas and their stories. So a lot of production companies, whatnot, well, what property can we purchase or buy the rights to and remake and hopefully get some guaranteed money? And I don't know. Well, I've enjoyed some of the movies that come from that. There's a big part of me that it makes me very sad.
True, very true. But yeah, we got a little tangent there, but that's okay. That's what.
Just like, what's his name? Keenan Anderson. What's his name? Keenan, is it Keenan? Keenan Thompson, excuse me. His production company apparently has the rights to remake Sleepaway Camp. And I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, okay, but I'm like, on the other hand, how do you remake that movie? I mean, what are you going to do? You know, the cat's out of the bag on that one. So it's like, I don't know. And I'm like, and then, so there's that big part of me. It's just like, just leave it alone. Just don't. If you want to do Sleepaway Camp, you know, make a new one, make a requel or something, but don't just do a remake. The movie's good. Let it be. And I don't think
Right.
that's just because I'm 50. I think it's just because I fucking like some creativity.
No, I do agree. I do think that there's a fine line with remakes, and you have to tread a little lightly sometimes. And I do think that there's a good way and a bad way to do some of those. And I that one specifically kind of falls into that, like, okay, like if we're gonna do this, we need to do it right. And I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to do it justice, but I guess we'll see.
I
But
don't think so. I just don't think. I don't know. I don't think they will. But whatever. Who am I?
old man yelling at the clouds.
I'm yelling at
But
something.
no, but we'll see. We'll see about that. But as for
As we sit there and we go to the next movie, which I said is a one that I love and I rewatch, and it is an actual remake of a movie. So,
it is. But
but
it's a
it's
little bit
not.
different.
There's a long gap there.
There it is. So, yeah, the next one is October 26, 2001. We have 13 Ghosts, and we're talking about the one with Matthew Lillard, not the one from what was it, like, 1960.
Oh boy.
So yeah, so there's a 41-year gap between these two movies. I mean,
Yeah, see
yeah.
that's one thing. I mean, there is something to be said for stuff like that and remaking movies like The Blob. And I love In the Fly, and I love the originals. But there's something to be said that when you have a movie like that that's made in the 50s or 60s, where there's certain limitations to filming, and to think, okay, now I'm going to make this in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, or modern day, or whatever it might be, when we have more tricks and tools to see what this, that, that's one thing. And, I don't think anybody set out to make 13 Ghosts and thought, I'm going to remake 13 Ghosts from the 60s. Because I know this franchise and this property is going to be a big money maker. That's not there. That no one's going to say that. It is literally probably someone saying, I dug that movie. Can you imagine if we made it now? That's a little different. In my eyes, and again, that doesn't always work either. And even in some of those cases, there's still a little bit of the charm it's lost from the original. Even if the new one is great and looks good and the effects are better, you still lose some charm. There was a charm to some of these movies with the originals, but there's a reason people like them. The reason people remake them. I don't know. I don't know why I've gotten on such a tangent about remakes. It's a sticking point with me, but I don't know. I don't know. It can be done, right? New franchises can be made. New
Yeah.
characters can be developed. New ideas can be, put out into the universe. And people have proven that. And if you just got to be willing to bet on yourself and, but production companies want, they like guaranteed money, I guess. And especially, it's weird in this day and age when, right, there's everybody's fighting for every dollar of the entertainment world, because there's so much stuff out there. But
Yeah,
anyway, yeah,
no.
13 Ghosts is a great movie.
Well,
No, I love 13 Ghosts.
no, absolutely. Well, I was actually going to say we were talking about like the time. So, but the time between 13 Ghosts from 1960 to 2001 when they remade it was 41 years.
But that's like a movie from like 84 now.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say the
And
Sleepaway Camp was from 83, so
I
we're
know.
42
So
years
that's
out.
what I'm saying. It's so weird to think of that. Because you say that on the one hand, but it's, I don't, maybe I
Let's
am
put it.
just old.
Let's put it this way. I'm sure that when they announced that they were remaking 13 Ghosts in 2001, 2000, I'm sure that there were people who were born in the 40s who watched the original 13 Ghosts. They
Probably,
were
probably.
like, they're like, you're telling me that they're gonna make 13 Ghosts in this day and age. There's no Charles Herbert or Joe Morrow or Martin Milner from the originals.
But see, it's different to me that still, because 13 Ghosts is a movie that benefits from effects.
it does.
Sleepaway Camp does not. The effect that they needed, they did all right with in the original,
They
my
did.
eyes. I think they did pretty good. So it's like, what in modern times is going to be different? I don't want, I, there, you know what? Here's my thing. There could be a very, how do I put this? There could be a positive message that can be made with a Sleepaway Camp remake, given the premise of the first one in modern times. There is the potential that it can be done, tweaked a little, where it could be a positive message. You're right, there could be something to it, but I don't know how you make it a horror movie. And I don't know how you make it like the original. To me, I don't know. I don't, here's my thing. We don't do politics. We don't do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But if you remake the first one straight up now, to me, you look like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
That's just my thinking. But perhaps there is an ideal to put a twist on it, change it up. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever.
So I will say this. I think that I do think that, especially given the modern climate, it would be very hard to make a movie. And I'm just going to say this because, this is our podcast. That movie came out 40 years ago. So if you haven't seen that movie by now, you're shit out of luck. But obviously, we all know what the twist is.
Sure.
I think that in a modern setting, you could still do something like that. I think I am on the same track that you're going. You could still do something like that. You could do a little switcheroo type deal, maybe. But you could still make a movie like that. But honestly, I think that you could not make it the exact same way with the exact same twist.
No, to me, or in the backstory, right? Angela's little backstory.
Yeah.
To me, I don't. To me, if you do, I'll hate it. Because to me, if you make it in that same vein, just personally speaking, to me, I don't know. You're on the wrong side of the fence there for me. And that's just me personally speaking. I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying you're villainizing. Out of you're putting that you're just. You're buying into too much weird ass fucking propaganda for now
Yes.
that I don't agree with, and people shouldn't agree with if you're a fucking decent person. My take, my view, my podcast, eat me.
Exactly.
But so if you do it straight up, that comes across to me horrific now. With that some of the backstory and this and that. That's why I'm thinking something. I don't know. The thing is, I can't see Keenan doing that. But I don't personally know Keenan. But he always seems like a pretty cool guy. But
He's on the side. He's more on the side that you and I typically fall on.
well, that's what I would venture to guess. So that's why I'm curious to see what they do.
Yeah,
And I think you're right, you can. And in that case, then if you've got the ideal. Because this did seem to kind of come out of nowhere to me, right? This whole thing with he's acquired his production. It just seemed, I thought, where did that come from? But perhaps his team, whatever you want to call it, whoever it is, perhaps they do have an idea to make to put a different take on it. I just don't think it's going to be a straight up remake.
No.
And I'm curious, and I'm sorry if you're listening. I'm not, and any of this makes you uncomfortable. I'm like, come on, horror fans should be accepting. Let's be real, and it is what it is, and I don't know. And quite frankly, I mean, I'm not divulging anything else, but this is a topic of conversation that is very near to my home. So
Yes.
I can speak on it, and I will speak on it, and I won't, I'm not gonna just out and out call the political side of it because I don't know. To me, it's not a political thing. It's not a political. It's a fucking, I don't know, good person versus bad person to me, and and whatever. Anyway.
But no, I do agree. We got on a little bit of a tangent, but no, absolutely. I think that as far as remakes go, because two of these movies have been remade that we talked about so far, remaking a movie like Sleepaway Camp would run into some very specific issues in a modern climate that perhaps we're not ready to even introduce because we're not sure if they can do it right. And I think that's going to be the issue, doing it right. And I don't think that maybe Keenan has an idea. You know what I mean? I will be optimistic because I think Kanan is a decent person, but like you said, it's a very close to home topic, and
It
you
just
don't.
it definitely seems like peculiar timing for it.
It does.
It's I don't know. It just seems, I don't know.
Suspicious.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it just seems like a timing that you can't go. I mean, surely either way, any way you go into this, you can't be thinking you're going to get across the board appeal. But I don't know. And again, I don't know. You know, we could be overthinking it. We tend to do that sometimes, right? It could be this. This may not even be a theatrical. Maybe a straight to streaming. He may already have a deal in place for it. So this may not even. It may not. He may not care about that, right? Because he's got a deal in place with the streaming service. So he's got his money and his budget. He gets to tell the part of the way he wants to tell it. And he doesn't need to sell tickets to it. So he doesn't have to worry about that side of it at all. And, you know, for God's sake, he spent 20 plus years on Saturday Night Live. He surely does not care whose feathers he's ruffling. So, you know, we don't know the details of this. It's all very new. This one just really, we got onto this because we're talking about remakes, and this just does seem like a very peculiar remake for right now.
It does.
But, you know, in thinking this through and discussing it, it also could, it really, yeah, what this could be, hey, it could be a good remake. It could have a very, profound, message and representation in it. It really could. If done a certain way. So I guess we'll all see whenever.
Yeah, absolutely will. But
happy movie anniversary, 13 Ghosts.
13 Ghosts got shafted on that one. But no, we're going to move on, though, because
we spent a lot of time.
We did on a random subject. But
it's not like we got that many listeners to lose, so I ain't that worried about.
No.
I think our listeners are pretty cool from what I've seen. My interactions, I think they're cool.
Yeah, I think they're part of the Cool Kids Club.
That's right. We love y'all.
That's maybe. Right. Maybe. But
except for you, buddy. I'm looking at you.
Or who was the guy who was giving a shit? I can't remember the guy's name now, but.
What was he giving a shit about?
I can't remember. He was giving a shit about, like, talking too much or something.
I don't know.
But anyway.
It's a podcast. What are we supposed to do?
Apparently, whisper.
I can't remember. What was it?
I think he was talking about, he's like, it's supposed to be a movie review podcast, but like, the movie review is at the end or some shit. I don't remember.
Yeah, I had to tell you. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. I was looking for a review of this movie. It took forever to get to it. Wah? I'm sorry.
Womp womp.
You know, I the movie reviews are fairly cut and dry, and we do discuss them, but we're spoiler free, so it doesn't leave, there's not a lot of room there. Right
for
this news and stuff. This is the meat and potatoes where we get to have our discussion and opinions on things. So
absolutely, but anyway,
makes you wonder: is that guy still listening? I wonder.
Probably not. He probably still listening.
For you, hey bub, thanks for still listening. Sorry you hate us,
but all right, let's get out of this movie anniversary section before we piss off the guy who doesn't like to listen to us talk.
I'm feeling salty now, man. It's
right.
Oh, and I will. Let me just say this, because I should have said this up front. I'm very curious about our review today.
I am too. I can see it going both ways.
Let me just say this. I don't know how we'll be split, if it will be split or not, but I will. Let me just tease. I was already a little sucked. I'm coming in a little hot with this one today.
Oh, man.
Go ahead. We got one more. Goddamn, we're not even out of the anniversary. I'll shut up. Go ahead. Last anniversary.
We got an anniversary and a release. So our last anniversary is October 29th, 2004. We have Saw. Everyone knows. We love Saw. Saw is a tenet of Listen to Their Screams.
Yes.
I would say if we had a Mount Rushmore of non-slasher movies, Saw would probably be up there.
Sure.
But yes, we love Saw. We reviewed Saw X, and hopefully we'll review Saw 11 if and when that comes out.
Love Saw, rewatch Saw, make another Saw.
Hell yeah.
Move on. See, I can keep it brief.
That's right. So we have one upcoming release, and this also happens to be the movie that we are reviewing next week. Mm-hmm. But Shelby Oaks comes to theaters on October 24th, and it is described as a woman's desperate search for her long-lost sister falls into obsession upon realizing that imaginary demon from her childhood may have been real. I've seen a couple trailers for this, I think. I don't remember. There's something interesting about the production of this film but I can't remember what it was. It was something that they were talking about in the trailer or set or whatever. But in here, I'm excited for this. I'm always down for a good demon movie, and sounds like an interesting thing.
Yeah, I've heard good things, good buzz online and everything else. And then, like you, I saw the trailer. I thought, oh yeah, this does look pretty good. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't have a super wide release, but thankfully we're getting it in our area. So yeah, we'll get to review it. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. It's either going to be one of those hit or miss kind of movies, I think, with me. But those are fun to go into.
Very true. Very true. But well, all right. I think that pretty much does it. That is all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will have our official review of The Black Phone 2. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time. We are reviewing Black Phone 2, written by C. Robert Cargill and Scott Derrickson, directed by Scott Derrickson, starring Mason Thames, Ethan Hawke, Madeline McGraw, excuse me, Miguel Mora, and others. Movie was released October 17th in theaters. It did gross $26.5 million domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number one at the box office, which was a really good turnout. This movie didn't cost a lot to make. So that is a good showing for them on opening weekend. This is, of course, the follow-up to the massively successful Black Phone, which was what, 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? I would think. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm looking.
I'm guessing it had to be 2 years ago, surely.
4 years ago.
Four?
2021. Okay, so it was technically 3 years ago because it came out in 2022 in theaters.
Okay.
But it went to the festivals in 2021, which is why it shows that way on the IMDb.
Okay. Well, I was curious. I thought, well, we reviewed this in the first one. And I remember, it being, we really liked the first one. I think we reviewed it. But anyway, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna let you start with this one. What did you think of Black Phone 2?
Okay. So I generally speaking, I liked it. It was a decent movie. I enjoyed it. Almost 90% of the movie was really good. My specific issues that I have with this movie, but I'll go with the positives first. First things first, I like the story, right? From the trailer, right? And this is spoiler free, so I'm not going to give you any details that you cannot obtain from the trailer. I like the story, the details specifically about it being the grabber from beyond the grave, right? We can all tell from the trailer that he is attacking these poor kids from beyond the grave. I do like the sort of twist that they threw in there that sort of takes us back to the first film and some of the events of the first film. I do like that they kind of go in and they say, okay, hey, well, maybe not everything is quite as it seems. I do think that the movie expanded greatly upon the family's, I guess, psychic abilities, right, that were portrayed in the first film. Mason Thames' character, Finney, had the ability to talk to dead people through the phone as sort of a conduit. And his sister, Gwen, or Madeline McGraw, had the ability to have these sort of prophetic dreams that her mother also had. So, yeah, I think that the movie overall was decent. I think the story was decent. I think that the connections to the first film and some of the expenditure from that movie was decent. My primary issue was that there were certain parts of the movie that felt very forced. Like the whole issue with the dad kind of showing up out of nowhere. I felt like they were really pushing that narrative into the film. I also felt like the sort of emotional journey that Finney went through, I just felt like it wasn't quite there either. I felt like some of Mason Thames' acting at some points fell a little flat for me. But overall, I mean, the movie itself was decent. The effects were decent. The story was decent. It was just there were a few times where the story just felt a little sloppy, maybe with like some of the dialogue specifically. But most of it came from Finn or Gwen's crying in the movie. I don't know why, but like there was a scene towards the end where like they it's just her crying for like 120 seconds easily. And like I understand why she was crying, but it felt like they dwelled on it way too long. And there were a couple other times where stuff like that happened too. And I'm just like, I just feel like they're just dwelling on stuff to just add minutes to the movie. Like, are they just trying to reach a certain cap of time that they're just lingering on these shots for way too long? It just felt weird. But outside of some of those quirks, I would say generally I enjoyed the movie. But I have a feeling that I have a feeling that Dave, you had a different reproach to that.
Well, you said my two key words, forced and flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me start with the fact that I maybe straight. I think this is a sequel that didn't need to be made. Don't think it should have been made necessarily. I don't think it's a sequel they had ever intended to make. I don't think the Black Phone was ever gone into, written, or filmed thinking there would be another one. Then it did so well and all this and that, and they decided, oh, well, okay, what can we do for another? I kind of feel like the idea for the sequel kind of felt a little flat. I didn't feel like there was, I don't feel like there was a whole lot of terror to it. Not especially not compared to the first one. The first one, was had some really tense and, spooky, creepy, scary parts. This one, I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's not, I just felt. And I felt like what they tried to deliver on, it all kind of fell flat for me. I just don't, they, tried to put backstory to things, and it's not that it didn't make sense per se, but it was just like, to me, it was all kind of like, okay, ho hum, but it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't add anything to the first movie to me that made me think, oh, this is a worthy sequel, right? That steps up the franchise, if you want to call it that. And I don't know, maybe this is a me thing, but it to me it also had a little bit of the trappings that so I have seen in several movies in recent times, and I like to call it the Stranger Things trap. It just feels like there's so many movies. This one was one that feel very Stranger Things-esque to me, and it's almost like the success of Stranger Things and that series has spawned these movies and things that have tried to have that feel, or whether purposely or not. And it just, I don't know, it's almost like I watched this and I was like, man, this feels like a B movie remake attempt of the Stranger Things ideal. To me, it was just the whole, the dad in place of Winona Ryder, and the dream stuff instead of the upside down, and the grabber instead of whatever those things are in Stranger Things. I don't remember. I don't know. It just,
The
yeah. And it was just, I don't know. There was just so many things that I just thought, I don't know. This just, it, and I just, I mean, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it. Especially not as much as I had wanted, I had hoped, as much as I enjoyed the first one. I didn't, I mean, I had no fears going into this, really. And it just did not deliver to me. And then in retrospect, I'm almost like, well, it's, it's up, it's, I don't know, my baseline to me is, I just don't think a sequel needed to be made. And I know that sometimes that's hard not to do when a movie's successful. and makes quite a bit of money, and you want to do another and cash in while it's there. But sometimes the story you've told is it's good enough where it's at. And and sometimes, if you want to expand, I don't know, you can do little things like, write some books or some comics. And I know those are not big things now, big I whatever forms of media. But it's almost like, I don't know, I just don't feel that they, in retrospect, they needed a sequel. I just don't think this added anything to the Black Phone mythos for me. It did, thankfully they kept the grabber, and I don't guess this is like a major spoiler. They didn't overuse him in the movie. Where that it made him less of a character per se. It's not. He's, still an impactful character to be, because he was not there all the time. But then it was just almost then in turn, there was just, like you said, there was just parts of these movies where it's just like, good God, what are we watching, like a teen melodrama here? It's just parts of it kind of drug for me. And I don't know. It was, I don't know, just didn't click. Nothing really clicked for me on this. I don't even think all overall the acting deliveries were that great from anybody in the movie. I don't know. It was just some things, just it all fell a lot really flat for me.
I think I do have to agree a little bit on something you said, that I don't necessarily think that this movie had to be made. I think that this movie was made purely from a position of Black Phone 1 did really good. They did that little bitty spin-off in VHS 85, right? And then they were like, well, people are loving this shit. Why don't we just give them more? And I do think that it does kind of fall into the convolutedness. I can see where you're talking about the Stranger Things esque issue, where it's like the story just continues to get more convoluted, and not in a good way, right? Sometimes there is good convoluted, sometimes there is good complexity, but it just felt like this was a confusing complexity that didn't really have a purpose other than to confuse the shit out of us.
Yeah, because to me the movie wound up where you pretty much knew it was going to wind up.
Exactly.
You knew where it was going, and they tried. It's like they tried to add stuff to it, like they were thinking we're going to add it some depth and backstory. And I mean, I don't th again, I don't think this is a real spoiler because I won't give details. But even giving the grabber some backstory, and I'm like, that doesn't really add depth to this. You're just cluttering it, because we still know where it's going to wind up despite all this. It didn't change the direction, and I don't know. I just don't think. I don't know. To me, some of the stuff that the Black Phone had, I'm not saying the type of movie per se, the feel, that some of that creepiness, some of that vibe, some of that evil. Is that same sense you get from what we talked about earlier with the original Halloween? Just because, right? You don't need to know a lot. You don't need a whole, we don't need to know what happens beyond, what happens after. We know where this ended.
Right.
And it's okay sometimes just to let that be. Now, if you've got a great idea or you had a bigger vision from the beginning, sometimes that works. But I don't feel like they had that from the beginning. I feel like they told the story they wanted to tell, and they just felt like, okay, I'm guessing there was probably lots of, again, this was, I can't remember who did the first one, who created the first one. He didn't write this one, right? It's based on his characters.
Right.
So I'm guessing this was more of a production company or whoever had the rights saying, yeah, let's do another. People like
Yeah.
this. Let's make some money.
Looks like it was written by Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill.
Yeah,
And then.
but there was that, there was, because there was the line of based on characters by or whatever.
Oh, Joe Hill. Yeah.
Joe
He
Hill, that's right, Joe Hill, Stephen
did the
King's
short
son.
story. Yeah.
That's Stephen King's son. Yeah,
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah, and yeah, right. So he wrote the story that this was based on, and everything in the original. And I don't. Here's my thing. I don't think Black Phone 2 was really that derivative of probably Joe Hill's writings. If it was, yeah, Joe, you went too far as well, in my eyes. So, but I don't think that's the case. I think
Don't think so either.
they took it. That's why it's just based on his characters, right? They took what they started with. And they put their stuff on it, and I'm sorry. What they wrote's not as good as the what Joe Hill wrote and the ideas he had. It didn't work for me. I don't know. And I always try to find my saving graces in these things, and I don't know. I mean, a lot of times I can, even if I can just say, oh, it was crap material, but the acting was good, and this, or there was these cool kills. Just I don't know. There wasn't that really that cool of kills to me. I mean, nothing that jumped that stood up that much. I really thought the acting was flat in this thing. I just didn't. And like you said, one of my key words is forced. It just didn't. I don't know. I understand what they were trying with Finney's character, right? Trying this. He came from the through this horrible thing. He didn't want to deal with it. He just wanted to try to forget it. He couldn't forget it. So he's trying to be protective of himself and this had this edge, right? And this, I'm just going to be about this. And I just don't think he delivered that very well.
He didn't deliver the, I don't want to feel feelings anymore. He delivered more of just a kind of a whiny bitch, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess a mild spoiler. I mean, you did, say the crying, whatever, but there's still, if you try to deliver that, they never had the full blown breakdown of Finney scene that it would have, that had to be delivered just right to make
No.
that work. And they didn't. And if they tried it, which I'm thinking they kind of tried a little, it didn't work. Because that's the only way you deliver, that. I've been a character's been hurt, but I'm gonna try to pretend I'm not hurt, and to make that work, at some point in that storytelling, that person has to finally get to that point of self-realization of I'm hurt, and that's gonna come out flooding.
Yes.
It's not just gonna be like a, huh? You know what? Yeah, that was a bad thing that I was in that basement, and you know what? It did affect me. It's going to come out. Just overwhelmingly. And I don't know whether it was written or not written, whether they tried to get to it. It definitely wasn't delivered. If it was tried to, it attempted to be there. I didn't see anything even close.
No, I and just to add to that, 100% agree because I don't know, maybe I don't want to say it this way because I don't know if he's like this or not, but Mason Thames has gotten some more popularity recently, so I
Yep.
wonder if him coming back was maybe not his preference. Maybe him coming back for the movie was not maybe something he wanted to do per se. So this was sort of not like he was forced. You can't force him to do anything.
Well, I
But
mean,
maybe this
if he had a two movie deal somehow with this production company or something, I mean,
exactly.
who knows? I mean, I don't know. To me, the best if I had to pick a best delivery as an actor in this, it was Miguel Mora as the friend of the of what's her name? I don't know what her name is. The sister, I can't remember her name. The one that liked her.
Oh yeah, the brother of that other
Yes,
kid.
yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick one, I think he probably delivered the best performance,
I would agree.
but he there wasn't they didn't give him a whole hell of a lot to work with
I
for his
just say
character.
as I think he had a whole lot of like 10 lines in the entire movie.
Yeah, and up to a certain point, even the guy that played the dad did a great job. But
Yeah.
then it's like they went too far and like, okay, what the fuck's like they tried to, like you said, they had to felt they had to bring you back into the story, and it was kind of a weird to me a weird way. But that his stuff early in that, that whatever you want to call it, the first act, like they say, I thought he was pretty good.
I agree.
And his deliverance. delivery. But then when he came back into it towards the third act, and again, I'm not going to give spoilers, but when something, a really emotional thing comes up and they're talking about, I thought his performance was shit. I thought it was really bad. And it was just not good. Again,
It
a
was
moment that,
laughable.
yeah, it was a moment that should have broke him down.
It should have.
And it didn't. It was just, so I'm like, what the hell? And I don't know. I personally just felt like this movie was a mess. It did not, I don't know. I can't pick anything it landed on for me. I wanted to love it. I really did. I'm glad it did well, just for horror in general. I'm always glad of that. I'm glad people went out and saw it.
Right.
But for me personally, it just such a gap between the first one and this one. I don't know. I don't ever see myself wanting to rewatch this movie ever because I can't think of a reason why. And I just did not. I didn't enjoy it at all. And very rarely do I sense a movie was a little bit of a waste of time of my time. I won't go quite that far. This is the closest I've ever felt in a long time, because I very much try to find something that I can enjoy out of a movie, even
Yeah.
if it's just a kill, or even if it's just a line, or some just something. And I don't know, what it would be in this. I don't think it exists for me. So, yeah, not happy. I just don't think they could have been better off had they not tried to do it. I think they forced the ideal. I don't think I just don't think the story, the ideal, kind of came naturally to them or creatively to them. I think they had some seeds of things and they just forced filling it in, and it didn't work. I just don't think it worked. But still love the first one. I mean,
Yeah.
that doesn't change because of this, but I will rewatch the first one, all the time. But I don't know. I'm not really seeing what people think about this. I've not really read anything or looked at people's responses online, so I don't know what people are saying or thinking. But I don't know. I mean, it did okay for an opening week. I'm hoping it didn't do so well that they're going to say, "Oh, well,
Let's do a third one.
let's do a third. What are we going to bring in for our Ewoks?" And I don't know, but I don't know. So I guess we got to rate this thing, huh?
We do.
Man, and I'm for me, I'm just no bones, no pun intended. It's I'm giving it a flat out 2 out of 5. I don't even think it's close enough to entertaining enough for me to go 2.5. I just it's just not, especially comparatively speaking to some of the other movies. And I can't remember. There was something recently that I think I rated a 2 and a 2.5, but I don't recall exactly what that was. But I don't even think this was up there. This for what I thought would be a potential top five movie of the year, it's just not even close for me.
Yeah.
And super disappointing, not enjoyable for me. Just it's just I mean it's a big letdown for me because I was really looking forward to it, but. So that's where I'm at. I'm giving it a 2 out of 5. Ike, what are you giving it?
Well, I have my issues with it, of course, but I think overall I still enjoyed the movie, right? I still found some redeeming qualities, more so than I think you did. So I think for me, because I would go back and rewatch this. I think I would, in fact, want to potentially, as like a 1-2 punch, watch the first movie because I haven't rewatched the first movie in a little while. But maybe rewatch the first movie and then watch this. I would give this a standard middle of the ground 3 out of 5. I don't think that this is in the 4 territory because I think the first Black Phone, I don't know what I rated it, but I think I rated it a 4 out of 5. And this movie did fall, I would say, subpar to the original film. So 3 out of 5 for me to give it that middle of the ground rating.
Well, there you go. And I know we say it all the time, but I would love to hear what our listeners thought of Black Phone 2. So if you are listening to our voices, you should be following us on social media.
Yes.
Just really quick, if you don't subscribe to us, we're on all the social media platforms. Look for Listen to Their Screams, Listen the Number Two Screams. You'll find us. So whatever your favorite is, make sure you're following us. And I just want to know, right? I want to know what everybody thought. And I don't care if somebody out there, again, loved this movie, thought it was the best thing ever. I don't care. Whatever. Doesn't make a difference to me. Doesn't make me like it more. Shouldn't make you hate it more. It is what it is. That's okay. We're entitled to our opinions and our tastes. But I'm just curious. I would love to hear other people's thoughts because I do feel that for whatever reason, my gut says will be kind of a little bit of a divisive horror movie.
I think so.
I think people will fall on two sides. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's why I like to hear. So let us know again by following us on social media and giving us feedback and seeing all the cool stuff that we post. Like we mentioned earlier, next episode, we are reviewing Shelby Oaks. So if you have the chance to see that in your area, then go watch it. Prep yourself for our review. We like to say thank you to all of you for your listens and your followers, and to our wives for your support and putting up with us. So before we close out, Ike, anything else you want to add?
Oh man. Well, hopefully Shelby Oaks is a little bit of a better turnout for us in terms of ratings and whatnot, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I do want to say I'm really excited for the coming months because, next month we have a couple of good movies, but December we have Five Nights at Freddy's 2, which I am extremely excited for. I think that's probably in my top three most excited for movies this year.
Yeah, and curiously enough, no negativity, no offense, but honestly, on my I don't give two shits. It's like it's weird because it's one of those things pop culturally doesn't hit me the same way, right? Because
Exactly.
of the age, and that's fine. That is what it is. So it doesn't impact me nearly. I thought the first one was okay. I thought it was good actually. But it's like the sequel. I'm like, okay, yeah, it'll probably be pretty good. I'll probably like it, but it's not one of those that I just can't wait. Like the same way you would. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, there are some fun. There's lots of fun stuff always coming out if you look for it. And even guys, no matter where you are, no matter what your means or whatever, just check it. There's lots of stuff out there. Tubi has got some original horror stuff. That's
Yeah.
been released. What's the R.L. Stine the Pumpkin Head? I think that was a Tubi exclusive
Yeah, it
new
was.
movie. Yeah, and I can't remember what it was. I saw something else that's getting ready to come out in the near future. It's exclusive. So they've got exclusive stuff on there, new movies that they're doing as well. So all these platforms are really doing this kind of stuff. So in whatever way you can or want to watch or do that, and don't you again. If you love Black Phone 2, don't worry about me. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's just my opinion, and you have your opinion, and that's cool. Just like Ike enjoyed it more than me, and we can sit here and have a civil conversation. Remarkable how that can work, isn't it? When two people can have different opinions on something, but still have a civil discussion on it. I mean, imagine if the world would do that more often. But yeah, though. So again, watch horror in whatever way you want to, and don't let anybody tell you differently. Anybody that's listening to us knows we're big on that shit. Don't anybody tell you because you haven't watched this, you're not a true horror fan, or because you watched that, you're not a fuck them all. You watch what you want to watch, so be it. It's your life, your time. You do your
That's
thing.
right.
And if you need a safe space, that's why we're here. Listen to us, follow us on social media. We are a safe space. So, all right, then. What is it we're reviewing next weekend? Shelby Oaks, that's what it's called,
Shelby
right?
Oaks.
I guess I'm assuming that's the name of a town.
I think so. I
I
think
would
it's either the name of a town or
a
I can't
residence or
remember.
something.
Yeah, like something like that.
I hope there's a twist that Shelby Oaks is like the name of the main character or something weird.
It's like a person. Hi, my
Yeah,
name is Shelby Oaks.
I would totally be down. That would bam, they do that shit 4-star or 4-scream automatically. I'm just like, yeah, that's the way. Take a chance. No, I be just think outside the box.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway, that's what we're reviewing next episode. And we're also coming up. Ooh, will it be? Yeah, let's see. It'll be after that episode where we should have our Halloween special, which we got to get chopping on, Ike. We got to get the wives on board and get that planning. We always do the Halloween special. We really got to get going on that. Halloween
We
right
gotta.
around
It
the
is. It's literally here pretty soon. So,
When you're busy, that shit sneaks up on you.
yes, it
No, I venture to guess we will probably do a what we did last year. We'll have the wives on, and we will do a special Halloween slash horror trivia competition, little fun thing with Ike and I, with the wives providing the questions and asking them, and along the way that spurns a lot of good discussion and trivia about horror and Halloween as a holiday and stuff like that. So it'll be good fun. So that we'll get that in the books. Don't worry about that. So looks like people got a double dose of Listen to the Screams coming up in their near future. So good stuff. And they're actually might be a little surprised, courtesy of Dave, coming up as well in the near future. But I don't want to say anything yet because I don't want to jinx it. So,
Ooh.
So all right. So until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.